So today we're going to talk about modern China. Like I said earlier, this is going to be kind of a little bit more fun, interesting things. Not so much I'm going to quiz you on this stuff, but more fun, interesting things. So this is a picture of Shanghai. Modern China. That's what it looks like. It's not a third world or second world country. It is by far a first world country. Huge, major, developing cities. If you got a question, please make sure you say something. I'm going to try to go fast because I got a few videos I kind of want you guys to see. All right. So first thing we're going to talk about is their military. A little intimidating, huh?
I just watched some movies yesterday.
Yeah.
It's like soldiers marching and you don't mind. It's like pictures or videos that you have to watch
twice
or something because they're so organized.
Pretty intense. So the People's Liberation Army, which we talked a little bit about yesterday, it has about twice the size of the U.S. Army is their army. So, you know, to say that we have the best military in the world, that's probably true, but by far it's not the biggest. Okay? So that's pretty intimidating. They got twice as many people in their military. Now, their military is also fairly advanced. That's a stealth jet. It's about the most advanced jet you could have in the world. We have those, not very many other people. But us in China. So, you know, Russia's got a few, but, you know, they're right up there with everybody else. Okay, so don't think like, oh, we're American, we have the best stuff. Well, not really anymore. We got really good stuff. Not necessarily the best. And they also have these guys.
I wouldn't even...
That's awesome. Someone said they wouldn't run away from that. I'm like, are you kidding me? A guy in a black outfit with a submachine gun on a Segway?
It's not going to be Segways anymore. It's going to be whatever the...
Whatever, that's
boards.
Intense. Think about the balance it takes to do that. And shoot. That's scary. Group of people, and a guy with a sniper rifle. Sneak up on you with the Segway.
Trying to shoot a sniper on a Segway, that's going to be pretty interesting.
But they also got some more advanced stuff here. It's a nuclear submarine. Okay? I mean, it's some pretty high top level stuff. The same thing that we have. So, that kind of leads us to our next point. China is a nuclear powered country. They have nuclear weapons no different than we do. Here's a picture from the May Day parade. These are held every May 5th. Everybody seen that stuff, the riots in Seattle, or the demonstrations in Seattle every year about May 5th? Okay, the people protesting. Here's what real May Day looks like in communist countries that actually celebrate May Day. They parade the military through the cities. Okay, this is Beijing, in front of the Forbidden Palace here, the ancient Chinese palace. You can see there's a picture of Mao right over the front door. Okay, and they parade the military. These are nuclear missiles. They're parading to show their military power in front of their people. Okay? So they're not afraid of their nuclear arsenal. Here's to kind of give you a little bit more of an idea. I'll zoom in here on the picture on the right. So yes, they have nuclear missiles. Up here you'll see in this map, everywhere in red is, wow, that's the best place to sit, is approximate areas that they think that they have been tunneling under China. A lot of areas where they are tunneling. And in these tunnels is a railroad system where they can put on nuclear missiles onto railroads and move them around the country, then on a Scud missile launcher, drive them out, and launch them. And then drive back in, you'll never see where they come from.
Yeah, but those railroads don't connect.
They don't that we know of. We know that they were tunneling somewhere around in 1967 in that area. They don't even really need to connect because a nuclear missile can launch all the way around the world from wherever you are. It doesn't even really matter. Nonetheless, they're big tunnels holding nuclear missiles. So, like we have nuclear missile silos around the country.
Do they know where ours are?
Oh, yeah. Ours are just in giant open fields. Go to North Dakota, there's a whole bunch of them. Yeah. Some of them are now museums. Well, you can't steal them. They're military bases, but it's not like they're hidden. It's a giant military base in the middle of nowhere, North Dakota. What else are they going to put there? You know, you can go see some in Arizona, the old ones, and that's a museum. There's no nuclear missiles in there, but it's kind of how it is. So, this is an interesting thing I like to show. So, what could you say characterizes all of these countries around China?
Communism.
They're not all communists. Some of them are. Cuba is.
Say that again?
What would you say a characteristic or describe all of the countries around China? Okay, but, like, things you might know about them.
Stereotype Asians.
That's African, that's African. That's Caribbean.
How about this? North Korea, Iraq. Are those nice places?
No.
Syria, is that a nice place?
Oh.
No. Cuba, not necessarily friendly. Libya, definitely not friendly. Sudan, which doesn't exist anymore, but still isn't friendly. Pakistan, eh. Afghanistan, not a friendly place. Iran, definitely not a friendly place. China is allies with all of these places. And these are things that they have given them. Merchant of weapons of mass destruction and to all these countries. So, they have sold military vehicles to Sudan, missile designs to Libya, to North Korea, intelligence, missile technology, and that's where they help get information on how to make the atomic bomb, which North Korea does have. Okay? They have provided chemical and biological assisted weapons to Iran. So they have sold all this military technology to all these different countries, which have not been overly friendly to us. Okay? So they have a huge connection to countries that are not friendly with us, okay, which is important to know. So, they are also one of 13 countries in the entire world that has its own space program, okay, which is a huge step forward in power, okay, and technology shows the advancement. They are one of, like, maybe three countries that can put people into space. We are not one of those three countries anymore, okay? We put all of our people in the space through Russia now. We pay them to do it because we don't have our own program anymore. China does. Okay? So that shows a huge commitment and money. They also have one of these, or they're going to. A space station of their own. There's an international space station, which everybody pays for and build parts to. But China wants to build their own space station. Now you'd be like, oh, we have to do the space stations, nerds, okay? But if you think about it, that's 50-some billion dollars to make your own space station when you don't have to. That shows a level of power and self-confidence and arrogance, and they're like, well, I'm just going to build my own space station, forget you guys. You know, and sophistication. For research, international research. Huh?
They put astronauts in it?
Yes, they put astronauts in it.
It's gonna be used as like a ship in nuclear war.
No, not quite. Illegal to put nuclear weapons in space. Alright.
What would happen?
There'd be massive consequences. I don't know exactly what would happen. Probably not, no. So, world influence. I like this picture though. Get it? It's a steamroller of China's going over the world, they're flattening the world. So they have a massive amount of world influence. Like I said, they're North Korea's only true ally. North Korea is an atomic power that has threatened half the world. When the world has an issue with North Korea, you must go through China. China's about the only people they are openly willing to talk to. Okay? So that makes that's a big deal. When they're allies with somebody that's, well, for our country, threatens us on a daily basis. Okay? Yeah, daily. They're constantly threatening. This guy on the left is the former prime minister or president of Iran, okay, who is also threatened to kill us and also threatened to blow up part of the world. That's the Chinese ambassador on the right. They were allies to the point that they had friendly relations. Now, they're not like going toe-to-toe to back each other up. Well, they had friendly relations, which is more than what we could say. Okay? The guy on the left is a straight-up crazy person. Thankfully, he's no longer in power, but he was like a straight-up lunatic. But China had open relationships with him, and they traded with him. Okay? So the little kind of theme there is China is friends with everybody that we are not friends with. But they're also friends with all of our friends, which makes them powerful influence around the world. Yeah. Anybody know what the United Nations is? You should know from your packet.
One person from every
kind of. Anybody remember why this was created at the end of World War II? From your handout. No. So, the United Nations formed at the end of World War II. to prevent another world war or international incidents. So all the countries of the world, or most of the countries of the world, have representatives here. This is their headquarters. It's in New York City. Okay, it's the UN building. Inside of it, that's what it looks like. You see, this is President Bush giving a speech. You can see his face up there. Okay, addressing the United Nations. Inside of that is this room. Notice the table in the middle. It's like the extra special, special, special people. Okay, what this is where the Security Council meets. Okay, so the United Nations has 193 countries in it. Okay, not everybody, but most everybody's there. In that group, there's a special group called the Security Council, which has 15 countries only. Okay, those are your nuclear-powered countries in there. Okay, of that 15, five of them are what you call permanent veto-wielding countries. Okay, what that means is if there is a vote at the UN and everybody votes yes for it, 192 people vote yes for it, to say stop Syria from invading, I don't know, Mongolia. Okay, and one of those countries that has a veto says no, then the whole thing says no. So that gives those five groups huge amounts of power. Okay, those top 15 countries are very powerful, but those top five are even more powerful. And those top five are the United States, okay, Great Britain, China, Russia, I think France is the last one. Okay, all of them original founding members of this group, all of them nuclear-powered countries. So that's a big deal. Whenever you want to get something go through, they all have to say yes. It provides a huge amount of power on the international world. Russia just said no about a year ago to the UN going in and stopping the Syrian civil war. They're like, yeah, no. There's nothing anybody can do about it. It's messed up. It's unfair. But that's how it works. So China is one of these five members. So nothing in international politics can truly happen without China. Passing global reform for environment. China typically says no. Okay? So it's a huge international power. All right, let's talk about their money. Notice their money's really cool. Every country's got way cooler money than we do. Our money's boring.
I like it simple.
Yeah. Here is what's called their gross domestic product, how much money their country makes. Now this is a number about 2008, so it's gotten bigger by then. They make about 7,298,147 millions. So add six zeros to the end of that, and that's your true number. That's how much the country makes a year. All right, it'd be, so you got millions, billions, trillions.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Okay. Compared to the United States, they're below. Granted, we are still ahead of them. But they are gained and got closer, and we are the biggest economic country in the world. They are the second. It's predicted in the next few years, I think within the next decade, they will surpass us as the biggest economic country in the world, which is a huge power play. If you make the most money in the world, you typically have the most power in the world. Okay? It's usually how it goes. Right? So they're huge money. And this is a great, great growth here. So it shows you here. So here's China, of course, the redder areas are the more people live in it. 1.33 billion people as of 2009, okay? Here is their people in poverty. 1981, there was 84% of the country lived in poverty, were poor, okay? 2005, 15.9%. So that's a huge change in the positive direction for them. Rural versus urban population. So people living out in the boonies versus people living in cities. 76% in the rural and 85, 23 in urban, 53-45. I guarantee you by now, 7 years ago this was done, that number has flipped. There's more people living in cities than there is out in the farms. So that's a huge change in culture for you. People not farming as much and going to the cities. Population, almost 940 million people in 1978 to 1.3 billion people in 2008. Foreign reserves, this means money that they have in other countries, like in banks around the world. This is all in billions, of course. 144.96 billion versus 2008, 1,946 billion. So they've gotten richer and richer, smarter and smarter, and bigger and bigger. You can see this is how much people are worth per capita. So how much each person creates in current dollars. You can see that number's trend's gone up. And then how much money they make as a country. This is that GDP again and how it's gone up massively. So the country is getting better and better and better and stronger and stronger and stronger. So when people ask, like, why do people put up with all the problems in China? Well, they're getting more literate. They're smarter. Granted, they're only reading certain things. Okay? They're making more money. They're becoming more powerful as a country. All things that make you as a person happy. Granted, you don't have personal freedom, but all those things are great. So China's being extremely successful. When you look at our charts and they go like this, all over the place. Okay? Some of it goes down for a while, then it goes back up, then it goes down a while. Theirs just goes straight up. Okay. Oh, this is something people always talk about. The debt we owe China. So this is the U.S. debt as of 2010. $13.52 billion. So add billion to the end of that. Okay. So that's not just 13 billion. It's 13,562. Add 9 zeros. That's how much money we owe as a country. You can Google it up. But it's a debt calculator, debt clock. And it's constantly ticking. We're like currently as we go, and it's gone up like hundreds of thousands of dollars. But the big point is, you can see who owns most of ours. And we're looking here for China in purple. 7.5% of our debt is owned by China. They're like our credit card. Okay? And so why that's important is that if China so wanted to, they could call in the debt at once. Do you think we have the ability to pay 7% of $13,000 billion? Hell no. We don't have the ability to pay that. So that'd be the point. It would crumble our economy. All of a sudden, everything would collapse because the government would have to pay the money. The government would have problems paying it. They couldn't pay it. They do have to pay the money now, but we pay it like a credit card. There's interest, and you just make payments. But if they say it all at once, we don't have the money. So everything would collapse. Like, your natural thought would be like, oh, make more money. Well, that means our money becomes less valuable, and then that just makes our lives here at home go pfft. So that's like a huge, powerful playing card that you could use in international politics. If you wanted to cripple a country, you'd be like, yeah, pay up. Wait for my money. Kind of. Yeah, kind of after World War One. Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty devastating. All right. Here's kind of a funny cartoon.
Get it? You can see the Great Wall of China from space. Ha ha ha! Funny. Thanks, I know.
Yes, here's another one. In these hard economic times for America, we'd like to give thanks to the higher power that ever sustains us, China. Oh, your jokes are so funny. I know. I try. Okay, so let's talk more about these personal freedoms of China and how they are different here than they are there, especially for Facebook. So, of course, China doesn't have these people protesting against the human rights in China. They have taken over Tibet, invaded countries. These are the only five religions that are recognized in China. You got the Buddhist Association of China, Chinese Taoist Association, Islamic Association, three self-patriotic movement, I don't even know what that is, and the Chinese Patriotic Catholic Association. Sound very super religious, even though everyone's like patriot, which means the government still has a pretty big influence on it. So like I said before, religion is a very, very tiny part of China. Very, very small. Okay, but those are the only five religions. I mean, you can drive down the road here and you'll see five different religious churches between here and Lake Stevens. I mean, my favorite one that I've ever seen is like the Church of Tamra. You can make a religion up for whatever you want. In China, you get one of five to pick from. Officially recognized by the country. Okay. So it's pretty stringent. All right, public executions still happen. China executed in 2007 between 5 and 6,000 people. From 1976, we have executed less than 1,500. We are considered one of the worst countries in the world for executions of people. And we are nowhere near China. And look at this picture. All these people in yellow are about to be executed. This is a nationally broadcast event in a stadium full of people.
They're all dressed up too.
Yes! It is an event that you go to. Like, hooray, today's execution day! Let's go to the stadium like a football game. That is messed up. They do. Not as much as we do, though. But here's the deal. This is a public execution. It's like live tonight. It's like, I don't know what you see on the Hunger Games, almost. I mean, pretty much.
Yeah.
This is reality. This is modern. It's a color picture in HD. That ain't old. No! Because they said something bad, so thus you need to be punished. That's messed up. All right, you don't need to... this is just a... I know it's a lot, but it's super detailed. But it's really interesting. So let me read it to you. China has more than 660 million radio listeners. More than a billion TV viewers. On average, daily newspapers go out to over 100 million people. There are nearly 500 million people that use the internet and 900 million people with mobile phones. Of course, that's gone up since then. In 2003... The head general of administration of press and publication used this quote when saying this. China is one of the countries in the world enjoying the most sufficient degree of freedom of expression and publication in the world. He's saying they have the most freedom out of anybody because they have the most people listening to the radio, watching TV, and have access to the internet than anywhere else. On the surface... true statement. That is, they have the most people watching TV and doing all that. However, there's only a handful of newspapers, only a handful of TV channels, handful of radio stations, and they're all controlled by the government.
So, like, they're, do they have it set, like, on the internet kind of thing? Do they have it set to where, when they go on the internet, they can't look up certain stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I'm about to go over that. But think about that. It's like, we have the most people in the world that watch TV, and so the people of China are like, that's true. We have the most TV viewers, so thus we have the most expression.
I'm sure there's stuff that the government doesn't let us see.
That's illegal in this country.
But still.
That's why people sue the country and do something about it, if they try to stop us. But in China, it's not even an option. You can't do that. If you made a cartoon making fun of the government... you would be arrested. Here, if you drew a cartoon making fun of the president, you could be on the cover of Time magazine tomorrow.
Family Guy does it all the time.
Yeah, Family Guy's great. You can't go to China and make Family Guy. You would be executed.
Same with American Dad or like South Park or something.
Yeah.
Anything. Yeah. All of our comedy makes fun of us. Nothing makes fun of them there, because it ain't funny. Right. And of course, that is limited then wherever else you go. This is a great quote. So they say, if you open a window for fresh air, you have to expect some flies to blow in. So this is in reference to like information. So they like to keep the window closed and keep the flies out of their information. So like the internet. And here's how they do that. They use these people. The internet police. They literally have a police force that monitors people's internet. Like they can access every internet computer based system that they want. They can access your computer and see what you've been
on. A computer in China, like, can they just sit on another computer and like watch your mouse move and stuff?
Yeah. It's not cool, trust me. That's the opposite of cool. It's kind of creepy. It's totally creepy. Look at this. Google is limited in China. They literally limit what Google can search. Not like here where you can Google anything. Google how to make a bomb. Here you go. Okay. In China, you cannot do that. Hence, this is a joke. Get it? Great Wall of China kept people out. China's repairing the holes of information. They literally block stuff from the internet. And here's an example of exactly how that looks. On the left, Google search in this country of Tiananmen Square, which we talked about yesterday. You see the guy in front of the tanks, the protesters, and stuff like that. Google image search in China. There's nothing there. You got a guy going, yay, Tiananmen Square. You got a Chinese flag. Okay? You have something that looks similar to this. Another joke. Get it? This is from Family Guy. Okay. They literally limit their history to the people. So if you're in China, you're like, oh, I heard that there was this protest in 1989. And no, apparently that didn't happen. See, Google says so. You guys go to Google all the time. Like, we'll just Google it. Here's the answer. Well, what happens if I just changed all the answers of Google and made it like Wikipedia and just be like, changed it? You'll just go there and be like, oh, see, Wikipedia said it. Right? So you can't just go Google and be like, oh, what are people doing in America that makes their life so great? That you can't Google that. They just limit it. So it prevents you from having those ideas. All right. See if this works. It's not going to work. All right. I'm going to come back to this video at the end. It's John Oliver. It's good. Apparently it won't let me play it, though. So here's the idea. Everywhere in blue on this map is places where they have Facebook. Notice China. No Facebook. They have their own. It's called the Q Zone. It's the government-made Facebook. They control the Facebook there, too. They control everything. You can't access it. Only in China. Now, of course, a lot of these countries have added Facebook since, but not China.
What if I go to China?
You can. They will have access to your documents. They control the internet. Somebody has to provide the internet. Theirs is controlled.
What if I make fun of the government in China?
You could run into problems. Would not recommend it. Okay, here's another thing. This, from 1979 to 2011, there was 400 million births in China. So what they did was institute a one-child policy. You could not have more than one child, legally. If you did, you could be arrested. You also had to apply for documentation to allow you to have that child.
Two, if the first child is a girl.
Right. You could have, some of the people could have two children if your first was a girl. That's a completely sexist thing where it's like, girls traditionally cannot carry their names if they get married in a lot of societies. So thus, families, you're allowed to try again to have a boy so your name can live on. That's a pretty ancient thought process to it, but then you're screwed. You got bad luck. Okay, so that's how it was. I mean, that's, talk about strictness. You could only have one child. No, most people didn't have brothers and sisters in China. A concept that did not exist, mostly. That's a crazy thought process. Talk about complete control in your life. Now, this has changed last year. You're now allowed to have two children.
What, three if the first two are girls?
Uh-huh. But that was a huge change for China. They're like, oh, yeah. We'll allow you to have two children. Now, their argument is that, well, look at America. You got people like Octomom that has eight children at one time and like 50 children overall. And they're like, that's the government has to pay for that, which is true because we pay for those people.
What happens if people in
China? That's fine. That's like something they can't control. But if you purposely went and kept having children, arrested. All right, Three Gorges Dam. I'm gonna try to fly through this quickly. Show you some videos. Huge dam that they built. That's inside of it. Those are super tanker ships. Those things are massive. It's the largest hydroelectric dam in the world, and they built it. They forced 1.3 million people to move so they could build this thing. They moved so much water in this, it slowed the rotation of the Earth. That's how much water they moved from the Earth, which is crazy to think. Here's what it looked like before. So that was the Yangtze River, 1987, gorgeous. And then you can see here how they have literally changed the landscape of part of the world. It's nuts. It's one of the biggest construction feats ever in human history. All right, sorry, trying to go fast here. Just showing you some of their advanced architecture that they have. It's a pretty trippy-looking building. Opera house. Here's a cool one. Beijing Olympics. This was the main stadium. It's called the Bird's Nest Stadium. Does that look like a bird's nest? This was the swimming pavilion. All this stuff on the outside changed colors. Okay. Now, I'm going to zip through some other stuff here and so I can show you some videos before we run out of time. This is the guy that's currently in charge of China.